Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way first quarter 2018 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development of Rai Way. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our first quarter 2018 results conference call. As usual, I'm here with Aldo Mancino, CEO, and Adalberto Pellegrino, CFO of the company. Let me now hand the call over to Aldo. Please, Aldo.
Thank you, Giancarlo. Good afternoon to everyone. It has been just a month and a half since we presented our 2017 results, so I'll keep my opening remarks relatively short. On the back of a good 2017, the year started with a good pace from an operating perspective, and the results are in line with our expectations. Still in the context of limited top-line growth, our profitability showed once again a notable increase year-on-year, bringing the adjusted EBITDA margin close to 55%, and that's due to the continuous improvement over the entire cost base. Also our net results continues growing and was up 8% year-on-year. Looking at the commercial activity with Rai, you may recall that back in March, we said that renewal of the Rai government service agreement had already started to unlock additional services, and we are now pleased to share with you the recent signing of two additional contracts, leading to an overall investment of approximately 11 million euros for the further rollout of the DAB network, mainly over the Italian highways routes from Turin to Trieste and from Milan to Rome, Naples, and Salerno. For the refarming of the 3.6, 3.7 gigahertz radio links that are around 50 microwave links of our backbone, which completes the one already signed for the 3.7, 3.8 gigahertz band. As already said, those contracts will start supporting our top line in 2018, but with a more tangible contribution in the following years. As far as the 700 megahertz refarming process is concerned, between the end of March and the beginning of April, the activities for the upcoming deadlines have been officially kicked off. In particular, the Italian regulator, the AGCOM, has started two processes. The first one for the new planning of the assignment of national frequencies 2018, the so-called NAF 2018, that is expected by the end of the month or the end of May, with preliminary activities, including consultations. A second process, the definition of the criteria to convert the current right of use of national frequencies into the right of use of transmitting capacity under the new framework. You know the deadline is the end of September 30. Another important process is the definition for the roadmap. The Ministry of Economic Development is working on that for the release of frequencies and for the regionalization of Multiplex One, basically indicating timeframe for groups of regions aggregating in four clusters, and consultations with industrial operators are ongoing, and the final document is expected to be published by the end of June 2018. As we said, we do expect from the outcome of these processes more clarity and more visibility on how the refarming will potentially impact the overall system and, let me say, ultimately us with railway. In conclusion, the results achieved so far give us confidence on reaffirming our guidance for the full year 2018 as presented in March. Now we can move to slide number 6 and let's look in more detail at our performance in the first quarter 2018, starting from our core revenues that reached €54 million, broadly stable compared to the first quarter last year as a result of higher revenues from RAI, mainly driven by CPI contribution and new services, and lower revenues from third parties, which are impacted by some headwinds limited just to M&L segments, and a reduction already expected and factored in our full year guidance. Discussion with M&L clients are, let me say, ongoing and aimed at finding a mutually beneficial solution. Then adjusted EBITDA increased by around 5%, 4.9%, at almost €30 million, helped by higher revenues and an overall 4.6% reduction of operating costs, with a profitability that reached a remarkable 54.9%. Moving at net income, so to the bottom line, the net income was up 8% year on year at €14.9 million. And from a financial side, in line with our CapEx, in line with our usual investments distribution throughout the year, with the first quarter being usually the weakest, our CapEx amounted at €0.8 million, lower compared to the first quarter of 2017, but by the way, included the approximately €7 million related to Norba deal. Then we have been able to record in our balance sheet a net cash position of almost €25 million, also benefiting from a positive contribution from the working capital, on which Adalberto will elaborate later. And, finally, cash conversion remains very strong at 97.9%. And with this, I'll hand over to Adalberto to provide you with more color on the main items of our results. Please, Adalberto.
Thank you, Aldo, and good afternoon to everyone. Good morning for those that are connected from the States. So, in the first quarter, we saw the overall financial proceeding in the right direction and confirming once again the strong focus of the company execution and efficiency. Starting from the top line, slide 7, core revenues were 0.4% higher, reaching €54 million in the first 3 months of the year, with the right component growing 1.2%, driven by the fixed consideration that finally this year benefited from the Italian CPI recorded at the end of last year that was equal to 0.8%. And we also have a positive impact from the new services that were 0.2 million higher compared to last year performance. And here the main contributor Looking at the overall amount that we reach in the first quarter, the main contributor is still the upgrade of the contribution network and the HD channels broadcasting on satellite platforms. And if we look at the increase that we recorded in the first 3 months of the year vis-à-vis last year figures, we saw the contribution of some contracts signed during 2017. For example, the tidying up of frequencies for one of the MOOCs we manage for Rai, and in relation to some selected areas. On the other hand, revenue from third parties were down 3.8%, reaching 8.4 million euro. As already anticipated by Aldo, they were impacted by the continuing pressure we are seeing in the MNO segment, which were partially offset by the higher activities for other customers, just to give you a name, Norba and the fixed wireless access players, but also some corporate customers. Let me also highlight, in order to give you all the proper figures to analyze our performance, that in 2017 first quarter figures included a contribution of only 1 month from Telenorba, from the Norba deal, since, as you may recall, the acquisition of Sud Engineering has been closed on March the 1st, 2017. And on the other hand, it's also important to highlight that last year, in the first three months, we had an higher positive impact of approximately 100,000 euro from non-recurring items related to prior year adjustments. So moving now to cost, let's go to slide number 8. Overall cost in the first quarter were 24.4 million euro, almost 5% lower than the 25.6 million of the first quarter 2017, with both the components that benefited from the positive effect of the efficiency and cost control initiatives. Personal cost declined by something more than half million euro, meaning about 5%, as a result of the reduction of our accounts, the continuous optimization of variable component of salary, and some lower impact of other non-recurring costs. As concerns the other operating costs, they amounted 12.7 million euro vis-à-vis 13.2 million in the first 3 months of last year, meaning a reduction of almost 4%, driven by efficiencies in all cost items, with the biggest savings in rent and intercompany, thanks to the reduction of the perimeter, the insourcing of some activities, and some other efficiencies that we did progressively in the last years. You saw earlier how this allowed us to improve further our profitability. So let's go to the following slide: profit and loss till the net income, where you may see that our net result stood at almost 15 million euro, up 8% vis-à-vis the figures recorded in the first quarter 2017, when the net income was almost 14 million euro. And this trend has been mainly driven by the higher adjusted EBITDA. And commenting the lines below the EBITDA, they are definitely in line with the last year, except the D&A, where the decreasing trend has been, as you know, accelerated vis-à-vis the business plan assumption, thanks to the reduction of the maintenance capex, partially also due to a postponement of the development of some development capex. And 2018 figures are now very close to the level reached last year. Let's move to the following slide, slide 10, on the cash flow generation. we recorded an outstanding 25 million net cash position, almost 30 million better than the net debt recorded at the end of last year, that was equal to 5 million euro. The main drivers here are, on top of course of the EBITDA contribution, the CAPEX, that in line with our usual and non-linear investment distributions throughout the year, stood at almost 1 million euro. And you should remember that last year we had 8.9 million euro of CAPEX in the first 3 months of 2017, but they included also the financial CAPEX for the acquisition of Sud Engineering, about 7 million euro. Again, on the main driver of our strong performance in terms of cash generation, let me spend a few words on the working capital that in the quarter contributed positively for 8.2 million euro on the back of first lower trade receivable after the recovery of the temporary build-up recorded in the last quarter last year. And that, thanks to the payment, the collection, we had at the very beginning of the year, we had some important collection in the first days of January, on which we have already commented back in our last call on March, commenting the full year 2017 results. Secondly, we have the usual tax cycle that affects the amount of Q1 payables. We are now in slide 11 on the balance sheet. You may see our net invested capital that reached 166 million euro and the net cash position that we already commented in the previous slide. So to conclude, Aldo will comment our last slide on the outlook.
Thank you, Alberto. To conclude, the results of the first quarter and the visibility we have on the rest of the year lead us to confirm our expectations for the full year, thus reaffirming the guidance for adjusted EBITDA to keep growing organically and the maintenance capex in the range of 9% of core revenues. And with that, we will now welcome your question. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fabio Pavan with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Hello, thank you for taking my two questions. The first one refers to the top line evolution. For what concern new services contract from RAI, but also for parties, what is the evolution we should expect for the remaining three quarters of this year? Could we expect a trend similar to the first one? The second question is on the cash conversion, which clearly was outstanding in this first quarter of the year. Could you share with us your assumption in terms of cash conversion on a full year basis? Thank you very much.
So let's start with your first question on the evolution of the top line. Yes, of course, you may use a proxy. You can project the first quarter figures in order to have an idea of the yearly impact of our top line. The main trends here are on the third parties revenues. There is this reduction trend on which we are working through a lot of commercial effort also with non-MNO customers. Talking about RAI, this year you are going to see just a little part of the 2 million euro impact of the slide with the new services commented previously by Aldo. So, as you know, the positive impact from the new services depends from the timing of the activation, and that's the case. Obviously, there is the impact of the CPI that is positive, and that's it on the top line. On the second question, on the cash flow, if you can again summarize your question.
Yes, just thank you for answering the first one. The second question was on which kind of cash conversion we should expect on a full year basis. Clearly, we have seen very important improvement in Q1, also because of some working capital impact. So, what's the expectation for your expectation for the full year on cash conversion?
Now, talking about cash conversion, of course, the first figures are impacted by our seasonality, and so figures are really close to 100%. Of course, full year figures will be lower, more similar to the figures recorded at the end of last year. Probably a little bit lower in the context of the guidance that Aldo mentioned on our maintenance capex, that should reach a higher level vis-a-vis the figures we had in 2017.
Okay,
the next question is from Alberto Brander with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I was just wondering on your OPEX figures. Obviously, some of the decline was anticipated by the, let's say, the effect of the voluntary leave plan. However, should we assume that this number, the 4.6% decrease, is a proxy for the rest of the year? And my second question would be, is there anything you can share on the current status of the Procedura, let's say, project you were chasing after late last year? Thank you.
So let's start with your question on the personnel. We see an important benefit in the first quarter. This should be progressively offset by the increasing of our headcount that we expect to have in the following quarter, also in order to partially replace our employees that accept our initiatives. So I believe that if we look at yearly figures, even as you know, we do not disclose guidance on at the level of detail that you ask for. But generally speaking, looking at the personnel, if you look at the figures recorded in 2017, more or less this would represent a good proxy of the figures that we should be able to record at the end of last year. On the other question, Aldo will give you all the
about this Procedura deal. Our understanding from the interactions with the sellers is that the process is not over. We have recently confirmed our interest and desire to work in a collaborative manner, and we are now waiting for further details on how they want to manage the process. But let me say it's difficult to make any assumption about on timing.
Okay, great. Thank you, gentlemen.
The next question is from Ricard Boada with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the results. I think it was another quarter of continued execution. From my side, just like a couple of like very high level questions. On one side, obviously we have like a lot of like discussions on what the future might bring, especially in the broadcasting industry, as the spectrum reallocation process approaches. Is there a case for an upgrade to DVB-T2 and like more modern compression standards to bring an incremental revenue opportunity that is not a part of the plan? And then separately, it's been now like 3 years since the consolidation like talks started in Italy. I understand that you've already like made a lot of comments on regarding this topic. But what does it really take for this process to be resolved in the coming months as opposed to in the midterm future? Thank you.
Okay, so talking about opportunities coming from the spectrum reallocation, and my understanding is that you are referring in particular to the DVB-T2 opportunity. Of course, this could be something on which we should work, we try, and so on. Could theoretically represent an opportunity. Generally speaking, we saw several opportunities coming from the spectrum reallocation, from all these technological changes that may happen in the next future. And as we discussed also in the last call, commenting the full year figures on March this year, last March, we believe that this opportunity for sure we will offset the negative impact coming from the potential reduction of the MOOCs. And then let's see if there will be also an opportunity on top of this, but it's too early to give some more precise figures on this.
About the question on consolidation, you say our position on consolidation, our commitment, of course, has not changed. About timing was, let me say, obviously been the million-dollar question since 2015, and there has always been something missing. So our opinion is that we are approaching, let me say, a favorable window that will reduce uncertainties on one side and maximize the potential benefit on the other, and it's the window starting from when the impact of the refarming process will be clearer, till the beginning of the activities to upgrade the network, as a joint management of the job could maximize benefits, reducing costs. But
and if I may follow up on this, just from a very high level perspective, how does the entry of Elliott into Telecom Italia and the fact that now we have like the Italian government much more actively involved in the telecoms landscape through the sovereign wealth fund affect a potential deal taking place? Obviously, one of the options considered in the Telecom Italia disposal plan is in with, and obviously there's like some moving parts and some combinations that could end up in a scenario which could facilitate a broadcasting merger. So how do you see all that like shaping out in the next few months on your end?
Sorry, Richard. Just to be sure, you are referring to the impact on Persidera, or more in general on INWIT?
I think more in general, like on the possibility of consolidation, like at like being Persidera, but like more interestingly on the big deal, like to reemerge. Obviously, like there's much more movement around the strategic environment now.
Well, to be honest, it's a bit difficult to say, also because, I mean, you touch the company that is not our company, that is Telecom Italia. So let's see what will be the mood and the approach of the new board of Telecom Italia on INWIT. But, I mean, it's not really up to us to comment on the potential impact of the entry of CDP in Telecom Italia.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Ghirotti with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of questions. The first is a clarification on the top line for this year. I'm trying to understand if there is any possibility to get some contribution from the new services that you are closing today, you are signing up today in the latest months, already in the second part of this year, or if this contribution is more likely to be fully visible only starting from next year. And then a question on tax rate. I saw that you ended up slightly below 30%. I wonder if this is a sustainable level for the full year.
So, talking about the new initiatives on which we commented, this year, you know, the contract in some cases they include some tantum, some of these projects, of course, are going to start in the following months. And there will be an impact, but just a limited impact. We mentioned in the slide a run rate level of about €2 million in terms of EBITDA. I believe in this year we will be able to reach 15-20% of this run rate level. And talking. Talking the tax rate, there are in the first quarter that there could be some little change vis-à-vis the previous period, but the proper tax rate is the tax rate that we record at the end of the year, where there is a little bit of normalization of the trend coming from the deferred tax that may impact of some decimal the overall tax rate.
And just a follow up on the previous comment. So you started with a mid single digit organic EBITDA growth. Do you think this is sustainable or too challenging? Because you are talking in general in the guidance about organic growth without providing specific target.
Can you repeat your question? That at the beginning the line was not so...
No, I mean at the 4.9%, you started with the EBITDA growth very close to mid-single digit. Do you think that this still is something sustainable for the full year? Or... Because you are talking in general in the guidance about, say, organic growth in adjusted EBITDA without providing a specific guidance, should we say, well, start of the year was, very, very encouraging, but difficult to maintain on a full year basis?
Convert the percentage figures in absolute numbers, that for me at least it's easier, sorry. But just to look on the performance of the first quarter, we had more or less almost 1.5 million euro of improvement vis-à-vis last year. Mm-hmm. I believe here there are some seasonality impact. There are some efficiencies, of course, on the cost. There are also some costs that should increase in the next month. So let's say that the projecting these figures, we should reach our best performance ever, and it's I believe it's not a good proxy. So you should not use the increase that we record in the first quarter in terms of EBITDA vis-à-vis last year. You should not take this as proxy of the full year full year growth. There will be the growth of the EBITDA, as commented by Aldo in our guidance, that is low to mid single digit.
If I may, I have another question on the revenue from third parties. In particular, I'm trying to understand if the current contribution from MNOs is the bottom of the cycle. So if you think that the current level is sustainable going forward, or if you are still bearing some renegotiation, some price pressure on these revenues.
No, for sure, this is an important change vis-à-vis the figures reported last year. We are still in negotiation with our commercial partners. I would prefer to comment overall on the third parties, because on the third parties, there are several impacts. Of course, the negative one is coming from the MNO that you mentioned, but there are also some positive impacts coming from the good performance from all the non-MNO customers. That just to highlight in this call, that we had a growth of 10%, of course, quarter on quarter. Of course, there is also the impact of Norma that is a non-organic, but even excluding this impact, the growth was 5% from all the other customers, different from MNO. So, commenting generally speaking, the third party's revenues, we believe that the level we record, we will try to do our best to maintain this level as the bottom level.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no questions registered at this time.
Okay, so let us thank all the participants and see you soon.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.